You can all feel it. You can see it. And you hear about it wherever you go now. We live in dead America. How do we reconcile the wrongs in America? I'm Ed Waters, and I'm your host of Dead America. Join me as we dive deep into the great divides, the misunderstandings, and confusion that plagues us here in Dead America. Let's have us a look. Welcome to this episode of Dead America. Today we have a very special guest with us, Tracy Maxfield. Tracy Maxfield is a nurse with over 36 years of experience. She is certified in gerontology and dementia care, and she is a regular guest on a well-known author and radio host, Peter Rosenberger's show, Hope for the Caregiver. You can find that on WLAC and iHeartRadio in Nashville, Tennessee. Tracy has written articles on dementia care, medical research, and mental illness and bullying in teenagers. She is the Purple Angel Dementia Ambassador for the Okinawan BC. Since the release of Tracy's book, Escaping the Rabbit Hole, Tracy has become a staunch advocate for mental illness and mental health awareness and bullying, and completed the course Bringing Mental Health to Schools. She also has met with teenagers ranging in the ages of 11 to 15 years of age. She talked about bullying and mental illness and has also appeared on numerous podcasts in the US, Canada, and the UK, live radio shows, and ABC, Como News 4, KSHV 45, and NBC News 6 television shows. With that being said, all of the information on Tracy you can find on our website, deadamerica.website. Fascinating woman, a wealth of knowledge, great information, and her platform that she is pushing is very important. We are very honored to have her as a guest today on Dead America, and we are going to talk about bullying in schools and why nothing's being done about it. So, with that being said, let's get into the interview. And thank you for joining us today. This episode, we have Tracy with us, and we want to thank Tracy for being here with us. A wealth of knowledge here, folks. So let's get straight into it. Tracy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I am just elated that we have you on our podcast. It is wonderful.
Well, thank you. I
think the platform that you are doing is just great, talking about bullying. It's been going on for so long, not only in America, but around the world. And I've looked, you have so much insight on this topic. It's great that you're doing this. Can you share a little bit about how you got into doing this with our audience?
So I got into doing it because I wrote my book, Escaping the Rabbit Hole, which was based on what happened to me after experiencing workplace bullying for 4.5 years, and then ultimately having a massive nervous breakdown, or in medical terms, an acute depressive episode. And with some encouragement of my psychologist, about a year into therapy, it was a very, very challenging, tough ride. And he suggested a blog to try and get everyone to understand what it's like living with depression and suicidal thoughts. And also, as I'm coming to terms with what actually happened to me, because with bullying, you can't help it. Whether you're a child or an adult, you keep blaming yourself.
Yeah.
Beating yourself up. And so when the book was released, my platform initially was to just spread the word about bullying and mental illness to try and reduce the stigma and create more education and awareness. And then after the book was released, I was invited to go to a middle school to talk to teenagers ages 11 to 15. And it was quite an eye-opening experience, because I think people tend to think that maybe bullying and mental illness, and you can't mention one without the other, because a child or a teenager with a mental illness, if it's not properly addressed and treated, is more prone to bullying. And similarly, a child that is being bullied has a high likelihood of then developing a mental illness. And so we have to continue the dialogue mentioning both of them. But when I met with these kids, I could not believe how many of them came to me to share their stories of what they were going through. And originally I thought, oh, okay, you know what? If this is just a problem school, it's just this school, this can't be widespread. And when I did the research, I was absolutely horrified, not only with the statistics in Canada, where I was at that time, but what was going on in the States and actually globally. This is a global problem, and it seems like we just can't seem to get ahead of the game. And so I decided, you know what, instead of making my platform all about adults, let's actually represent and advocate for those whose voices are very rarely heard, and that's our kids and our teenagers and our young adults. And so that's how I changed the focus, to really speak up strongly about what they're going through and what we need to do to start helping them.
That is so awesome that you choose to do that. And, you know, that's where it all starts, is our youth. We have to teach our youth how to live properly, how to associate properly. And, you know, it's interesting. One of our questions that was sent in is, are there programs to help the bullies to overcome the feeling of wanting to bully? It's interesting that you pointed that out, that we need to work on both sides. And I'm seeing that a lot of people are seeing that, but this particular topic gets thrown under the rug so much. Here in America, I found it amazing. 1 in 5 high school students are bullied. It's mind-boggling. I don't understand how we got here. And I know with the advent of the internet, it's just increased.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, the actual ratio is more alarming, because when the new report is going to be released, it's actually going to be 1 in 3 students are bullied.
Wow.
And I mean, I know. And I mean, just across America, right, every single day, we have 160,000 students miss school because they fear they're going to be bullied. It's 160,000.
Wow.
And that, I mean, that in itself speaks volumes, because it's very alarming. And what we're starting to find is that kids that are bullied actually undergo changes in their brain, in their chemistry, in the development of their brain. Because women, their brains are not fully developed until they're about 21 to 24. With boys,
yeah,
it's slightly longer. Their brain is not fully developed until 24 to 27. And that last bit to be developed is the frontal lobe, which is our executive functioning and our socially appropriate behaviors, our risk taking, our sense of right and wrong. And so as we are subjecting our kids to this constant bullying and threats and intimidation and harassment, and not just in school, then they get subjected to it online. It further compounds the problem, and their brains cannot handle it, and they're finding such significant changes. And that's why I'm so very, very strongly outspoken about, you can't just brush it under the rug. You can't just say, as many people do, oh, well, I was bullied in school. You just get used to it. It's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Right? And bullying today, I was bullied when I was in school, and it was not pleasant, but it was certainly not the degree of bullying today. And I don't think what I'm seeing is a lot of people, men especially, and this is not finger pointing, but I've received a lot of hate mail from men about the work that I'm doing because they just feel like, you know what, you either punch the bully out or you just get on with your life. And I'm trying to explain to them, we have a different genre of bully. We don't have the high school thug that came from a troubled home that steals your lunch money, like Nelson in The Simpsons.
Yes.
That bully's gone, right? The new mentality with bullies now is that they go for the pack mentality. They actually travel in packs, especially girls.
Wow.
And girl bullies have actually tripled in the past 10 years. Girl bullies are more dangerous and more problematic than boys.
Wow, that's amazing.
And because girls, it's the emotional connection. It's not necessarily the physical contact, although we have seen episodes where if there's 5 to 6 girls, they will actually forcibly beat up another student. And it doesn't matter. They'll pick on boys or girls. But it's the mental intimidation, the social exclusion they do, the isolation, and then that ongoing bullying that takes place. So you leave school and you think you go home to the safety of your own bedroom, and then they're online doing it.
Yes.
And texting. And they go to such extreme lengths. It's the lies, it's the false rumors, it's photoshopping, so taking your picture and then adding
yes.
to it, right?
And it's getting more convincing, too.
Yes, and sadly, our society, and this is our global society, has been so inundated with fake news that we really... lots of people don't investigate fully to determine, is this true or
That's
not?
That's right.
And they accept things as is. And so, of course, if we have adults who actually have this mindset, unless you've really instilled a good value system in your child and a good sense of right and wrong and what's appropriate behaviors, kids are going to just look at this and believe it to be true and keep spreading it. And as you know, anything online, one, it never ever goes away, even if you delete it.
That's right.
And two, it goes around the world. And this is the difference, is before, I mean, you couldn't be bullied 30 years ago, because by the time you got the letter, the bully probably would have forgotten, what did I write?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I want to backtrack just a little bit to pointing the finger at men. I'll point the finger at men because I am a man. I'm over 50 years old and I've watched this increase so much. And I know that familiar, well, he's got to learn to do this and he's got to go through it. That's ridiculous. We've got to address this in a fashion that men and women come together as a unit. And we tackle this together. And the men are supposed to be the head of the family. Where are they? why are we not addressing these issues? These are children, and they need your guidance. And that goes back to what causes people to bully in the first place is, well, it's a learned behavior. So...
Absolutely. And that's why I've said from the beginning, we absolutely must help and support the victim. But it's also crucial that we help the bully, because a child bullies for a reason.
Yeah.
It's either because they think it's appropriate behavior because it's learned and they see it at home, or they themselves could be abused and are crying out and are in so much pain that they then have to inflict that pain and the feelings of hopelessness and poor self-esteem. They have to then inflict it on others to try and make themselves feel better.
Yes.
The irony is that you never do feel better. That's why you have to continue to cycle, because you get a momentary gratification of seeing that person cry or become hurt. But
yes.
Then you have to do it again, because it just doesn't, because the help you need is not that. You need someone to come and build up your own self-esteem and help you if you're being physically or sexually abused. That's, you know, someone steps in and helps you understand. And so
that's right.
You know, parents tend sometimes to get very, very defensive and say, my child is a 4.0 student and is captain of the football team or is captain of the cheerleading squad. And there's no way my child's a bully, because they have that fear, right? That they were looking at their lives. But we have to, because they may not know there is abuse going on.
Right.
Or they may be the parents.
Yes.
That are not really there for them. Social media and games and TV to be the babysitter, and it may be because they're working, or, you know, there may be other things going on. There are so many factors as to why a child or a teenager becomes a bully. And the irony is only a very small portion, maybe even just 10% of them, are because they're truly psychopaths. And again, they can display that behavior, but we can't even assess and determine if they're psychopaths until they're in their 20s, after their brain is fully formed.
Really?
But you can see, I mean, you'll see certain behavioral traits. So, you know, when you have a child that is bullying, you will also see that they're doing maybe damage to personal property, or they may be unkind even to their own siblings, or they'll start hurting animals. That's when there's that little red flag of, this is more than just a bully, and you have to look into that more. But yes,
it's awareness.
It is. And I mean, there's lots of schools, especially in the States, that have really started to implement programs. New York is actually way ahead of the game in that they're implementing mental health awareness and mental illness education programs and relating that to bullying, so they can help start understanding the kids and also help them develop coping strategies. I think we're never, ever going to truly get rid of the bully, because we're always going to have a troubled girl or boy.
Right.
But I think it's enabling us to help our kids how to deal with it, to have that confidence and instill that good sense of self-worth and self-esteem, that they can stand up to the bully and actually encourage others. It's the new bullying is, be an upstander, not a bystander, because a bystander who does nothing is as bad as the bully.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get back to that sense of community. And,
right.
You know, collectively, if someone sees a kid being bullied in school, that they actually go and they help them. And
that's right.
They stand up and support against the bully, because what they're finding is if you actually do that, it reduces the bully's behavior and they will eventually back down because you've taken away their thunder.
Yeah, that's right. And that's really the only way I see you addressing this issue is everybody has to step up. If you see somebody being bullied, you've got to get that pack mentality against them because they have it against you. So
you have to, because I mean, we're starting to see more and more stories in the newspaper now, where, and all over social media and the TV, is that prolonged bullying, what it does to the person, and, you know, they develop mental illnesses, especially anxiety and depression, but also they are now ending their life by suicide, and they're actually calling it bullycide.
Wow.
It's suicide directly related to the effects of bullying. And the fact that they can now identify a word means that this is happening far, far more than people realize. Many times they do keep it quiet, but now we're finding as more parents becoming vigilant and speaking up about it, there's more reporting about it. And of course, what people are not realizing is if we don't help the victims of a bully and we let it go on, we end up then having a bully who, so we call it a bully victim. It's a victim who then becomes a bully and becomes a bully to other kids.
Yeah.
The next step to that is they pick up a gun and they come to school. And we've just seen that.
Oh.
Three days ago, I mean, those two teenagers are now in court in Colorado for going into the school with guns.
Yes.
But one of them is a teenager who identified as transgender and was being bullied and victimized, and nothing was done. And I just want to shake my head, because the U.S. government has mandated that every single state and all the schools are to have an anti-bullying policy in place. And everyone, teachers, you know, custodians, bus drivers, parents and students should all be aware of the policy and receive education into what is bullying, what is unacceptable, and what action we're going to take. And Colorado especially, they had Columbine. They were the very first ones to have. And I mean, one of the Columbine shooters, Eric, in his suicide note, he wrote, "This is for all those who bullied me." And right, I'm going to.
I remember that.
You will not bully again. What did we not learn from that?
Yeah, that's a good point right there, Tracy. That's a very good point. You know, a lot of people overlook these because, you know, when we look into that Columbine, there's so much of that what we call fake news shrouding that.
Yeah.
We've got this stigma of talking about it now because of all of that.
Yes.
So,
and I completely agree. And I think what happens is we immediately label the person. So it's usually a young adult or a teenager. We immediately label them as psychotic or mentally ill. And the thing is that are they mentally ill? Yes, but they've got to stop looking at it as that crazy out of control aspect and have a look at what did this do to their brains?
Right.
We know that, right? We know the impact it's having. So we know that it impacted their frontal lobe, which is their ability to determine what's appropriate and inappropriate behavior. They were 17 years old. Their frontal lobe was, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Maybe two-thirds of the way developed. And so they've gone through this. There's two of them together who've been through hell. No one has helped them. No one has listened to them. And so they decide, you know, yeah, let's get revenge. No, it's not the appropriate way. It really isn't. But they had access to an arsenal of weapons plus explosives, and they decided that they got to the point where they wanted to punish people before they ended their lives, because it was very clear they were going to, death was their plan. They wanted to kill themselves, but they wanted to take down others because they were hurting so much.
Yes.
And it's not psychosis, and they were not psychopaths. They were teenagers that had gone through at least 5 years of constant, repeated bullying.
Yes.
And no one did a thing. And, you know, it's the same. Transgender teenager from a few days ago in Florida, it was the same thing. Sandy Hook, he had autism, and he had been bullied and intimidated for almost a decade. And, you know, he didn't have a father figure. He had a mom. And you just get to the point where the pain is so bad that you just need to end it, but you're hurting and so angry because nothing was done, and you're angry at the system, and you're angry at the kids that did it to you. And here's your weapons, and off I go. And even if lots of them are saying, well, we'll talk about gun control. Well, I have two thoughts to this. I respect the right to bear arms, but the fact that they had access to the guns, where were the parents in locking those
guns
away?
That's right.
So that's the first part. And the second is, when you get to the point that you've decided you're going to die, that you want to wreak holy hell and revenge, you can find other weapons. In Britain right now, there's mass stabbings on the streets.
Yeah.
About 40 a day are being stabbed.
That's right.
You grab a knife, right?
That's right.
You can make an explosive. It doesn't matter. Removing someone's access to guns may reduce some kids from following through with things, because it's not that easy. But when someone has an intent, they will find a weapon and they will do it.
That's very correct right there, Tracy. The petty bickering is just getting in the way of actually addressing these social issues. And,
Absolutely.
Common types of bullying, what I found out is there are three common types. There's physical, there's emotional, and there's social. And
yes,
sort of they all tie in together, but yet
Absolutely.
They are very specific in types. And
yes,
physical, you know, we used to deal with that back when I was a kid, you know, the hitting, the kicking, punching, and things like that. We're moving more into the emotional and the social tortures of bullying nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. And girls.
Yes.
Are very good. Girls are very good at that, right? And you know what's sad?
That's odd.
Adults are just as bad, because this is the new genre of bullying in the workplace. It's emotional. It's threats. It's accusations. It's
yes.
rumors. It's gossip. And it's exclusion. So it's, you know, the boss taking three employees to coffee and leaving one out. Social exclusion
yes.
is now becoming rampant, and is actually, it's so dangerous, because as human beings, we all have a need for human connection and to be a part of something and to feel love, and that, you know, that we are valued. And
the affirmation.
Right? My workplace bully was actually a female. And
wow.
That it was, that was it. It was the exclusion. It was the false lies. It was the threats, the snide comments. You know, they just chip away at your brain and your psyche. And, you know, there's, in my book, I actually wrote a chapter on this. I said, there's a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And
right.
In my chapter, I said, whoever wrote that.
I liked that part.
Problem.
Yes.
Because seriously, the sticks and stones will break your bones, but a fracture will heal in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And you may have some residual injury for a couple of months after that, but ultimately there is healing. Words, they burn into your brain. And if you already have a pre-existing mental illness, or if you've gone through abuse, you know, as a child, maybe you're in a marriage that's abusive, you're going through family issues, financial issues, whenever you have that intimidation and that emotional constantly chipping away at you, and it's not just through verbal, it's through body language, it's through exclusion, then it's through messages and texts and emails, it adds up and it wears you down. And I think the challenge with adults is ultimately, if you are the primary breadwinner and you need the, you have to have the money for benefits, or you have to, you know, you just need the money because you need a job to pay your bills. Having that threat that it could be taken away from you or you'd be demoted,
yeah,
is so hard as you're then trying to deal with this bullying, because you're thinking to yourself, I'm an adult. I should be able to deal with this.
Right.
I should know better. But it does, they chip away at you, and they chip and they erode your self-worth and your confidence. And it, I mean, with me, it was 4.5 years. And I could feel myself after 4 years, burnout. I could feel the pressure. I became so ill. I had two bouts of pneumonia back to back, which I'd never had pneumonia. And I thought, okay, I know I'm not dealing with this. It's getting to me. And then ultimately, they almost sense your Achilles heel. They sense that you're damaged goods, per se. And they go in for the kill.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, and it is. It, for me, it was the kill. It was like, just broke, I say in the book, broke my heart, soul, and my brain into a million pieces.
Yes.
And, but, you know, workplace bullying is becoming rampant. And they say, so out of, let's say we have 7 bullies in school, and not one of them received help. Statistics are showing 4 to 5 of those bullies in school go on to be bullies in the workplace or bullies at home, which means spousal abuse or child abuse.
Yeah.
And that's why it is so imperative that we have to identify and help the bullies. Because they will only continue a cycle and will continue to go and hurt and harm so many more people. You know, bullying, whether you're a child, a teenager, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, or even 70s. I mean, we're even seeing bullying in nursing homes now.
Yes.
You know, in assisted living.
It's crazy.
Right? It's got to stop.
That's right.
Coming out of control, and we seem to be just treating it as if, oh well, he or she was difficult. They were hurting. They were, you know, the words like, oh, they were crazy. There was something wrong with them. No, but that doesn't make it acceptable.
No, it doesn't. That's right. You know,
and the more I, you know. Sorry, go on.
Well, this is all about your information, Tracy. I never want to cut you off from telling a good story because it's good information. My thing is, I think that we are at that point in time where, you know, the old generations and the new generations, they're kind of clashing in what was acceptable.
Yeah.
And what is
yeah.
now acceptable. And we really have to get down and dirty and define these lines. There's inappropriate touching, inappropriate behaviors coming from older people that's acceptable back then, but it's not now. And we have to train ourselves to be up with the times, and that's important. And it's also important that people know how they can find help. One of my questions that was asked was, how can people find help if they're stuck in this bullying situation? How do you feel people can actually get help without feeling they're a snitch or get a stigma about them for saying something about the issue?
No, I agree. That's a challenge. In school, we should be dealing with that, where they're not regarded as a snitch, they're regarded as an upstander, and that's a work in progress. In the workplace, it is more challenging because, again, you don't want to feel that your job is threatened, and you're afraid that if you report it, then the bully is then going to come after you. And we have to do a huge culture switch. Certainly for anybody, regardless of how young they are, how old they are, whatever situation they're in, there are so many awesome resource tools and websites available that can kind of take you through the steps of what you can do if you are being bullied, or even if you suspect maybe your child is a bully, what you can do and the next steps. And there's also the legal side of it as well, because now, especially in the workplace, they're being able to introduce more human rights code violations with regards to bullying. And in school, it's the Education Act and some of the amendments which can actually support the parents and the student that's being bullied. So there is help out there. And I think the more people that utilize that and know what their rights are and stand up, the better protected they are and the stronger the advocate that they feel. But what I would suggest is, so firstly, this was not meant as a plug to my website, but on my website, I actually have a list of every single bullying organization in the States for any age. So there's a whole list of them. Plus, I have specific bullying, global bullying sites. So if you have a mental illness and you're being bullied, if your child has autism, is blind, is deaf, what supports and resources they can pull on. So I have a whole list there. But let's say in the workplace, all workplace organizations, if you don't have union representative, they are supposed to have a human resource and human rights representative that you can go and address your concerns with. If that isn't something that's accessible in your workplace, then I think, yes, we have a problem, right? I can certainly give you guidance on what you should do and how you should go about it. But I know I was somebody that was very outspoken and stood up for myself against my bully. I reported my bully through the whistleblower hotline, and they actually contacted my bully and told me I'd reported her for bullying. So again, it's the organizational culture, and where we have to be, we have to be more outspoken and stand up for ourselves together, collectively. Because these organizational cultures should not be allowed to, to carry on like that. There has to be accountability.
Right.
And you can't have a whistleblower policy and then contact the bully and tell them who told,
that's
who reported
right.
them.
That's
like,
right.
That, just, it, that, that is unacceptable.
That is.
There should be, right? There should be fines implemented. With schools, what they're now doing is, if a school has an anti-bullying policy and everyone has received education and it is clearly defined what is bullying and what is not, and the school fails to respond to a complaint, you can actually take it further, and it is a violation of three different acts, education acts, and the school can have its federal funding removed.
Wow.
And parents need to start becoming more aware of this, because they have more rights than they realize. There's actually now many lawyers are actually intervening and taking on specific bullying cases, because there are laws that can be implemented, like, for example, Title IX of the Education Amendment to the Civil Rights Act. They can actually utilize parts of that act to support the student being bullied and the parents, and then go back to the school district and say, you're in violation. You did not uphold your policy. We will now cut your funding. And no
yes.
school wants that.
And I think that's a good point. You have to address it that way, because we
yes.
are supposed to be rule of law. And if we just
yes.
push the law to the side and say, don't do it next time, there's nothing ever going to change. So,
well, and this is the thing, right? If you have a school and you have an anti-bullying policy implemented, and every single person has been educated, so that's the parents, the PTA board, from the bus driver to, you know, whoever's in the school cafeteria, teachers, counselors, groundsman, janitor,
yeah,
every single
exactly.
person is aware of it and understands what it represents and knows what is the accountability. So if you do this will happen, then they have to stick with it. And I think that's the challenge.
Yes.
Is they have to stick with it, because if Joe is captain of the high school team and his dad's a doctor and his mum's a lawyer, and he bullies Tom, and Tom's parents complain, and the school goes, oh, well, Joe's mum and dad are pretty influential in the community and they donate a lot of money, we'll just let it go. That's not acceptable.
Right. That's going to compile the issue.
Oh, exactly. And so that's why, it's bullying, I think it's, you can't say the parents or the parental figures are the ones that should solely deal with it. And you also cannot point fingers and say, well, it's the school's responsibility. I feel we all have a part in it, and it's a society issue.
That's
it's
right.
It's a society problem. And the sooner that we start understanding that, guess what? You may not like the fact that you can't go and pat a girl on the butt now. Before it was acceptable, right? And,
right.
Or you could, right? And everyone would say, oh, well, look at him. He's a charmer or something. Now we're saying,
That's right.
That's right. It's
well,
inappropriate, and it constitutes assault.
That's
and
right.
Even if you say this is absurd and you don't agree with it, the bottom line is it's law, it's fact, and you have to uphold those rules and
that's
those
right.
laws, right? And using the oh well, I'll try and be better the next time. No, there's a reason why we have these things in place, is to protect people, and we can't keep turning a blind eye or punishing those that we don't like, but letting it slide for others. I mean,
right.
look at the college where the hazing was so bad that they raped the boy with the broom handle.
Yes.
That, right? And because there were so many influential parents there, the school board let it slide until it hit the media.
That's crazy.
Right? And now everyone's been fired. But it's like, that's unacceptable.
Right.
What are we doing to one another? It just blows my mind that for the sake of dollars and equipment purchased, they will allow someone to be emotionally, sexually, physically victimized and assaulted. And
that's right.
That's okay. This is a human life. This is a human being that we're dealing with. And it's just, I wish people would take a step back and think to themselves, how would I like it if this was happening to my child?
That's right. And that's what people have to do. They have to step back and start thinking a little bit.
They've really got to think about that. Or how would I feel if my child was in the school and the kid that was being bullied and had been for years that we knew about, but I never told my child to be an upstander and I never really reported it to the school. I let it go. How would you feel if he comes into class one day with a gun and starts shooting and your son or daughter is in that classroom?
That's right.
Are you prepared? Right, because we've seen what's happened after the Florida shooting. Right, those that were in that classroom, a couple of them then ended their life by suicide this year because the post-traumatic stress and the survivor guilt was too much for them to handle. And people are not understanding that there are so many consequences to an action that has happened.
That's right.
Okay, so like the bully, okay, so the bully died. The problem's not over. What about those that were victims that even if they weren't hurt by the bullet, they still went through that horror of they could die at any moment and they saw their friends die.
Yes.
Do you know what that does to a person?
Boy.
Right? And people are forgetting that we're talking about a problem that's a stone in an ocean, and the ripple effect is phenomenal. And,
that's right.
You know, this Tuesday, you know, the school shooting. Okay, so we have them in custody. They go into court. They will be charged. What about the kids that were in that class, in that school? What about in the neighboring school that went on lockdown? And everyone had to be escorted one by one to their parents' cars because they didn't know if there was other danger in the community.
But that's
what
right.
What does that do to a child to think that they could go to school and there could be a shooter? Because this is what we're now putting our kids through. This is their new norm. They have to practice
getting
cover, not for an earthquake.
Kind of terrifying, isn't it?
Isn't it terrifying? I mean, we're expecting our kids to get on with their life when we've already put that threat that somebody could come into school and kill them.
And that's right.
We're so confused.
Yeah.
You know,
the only way to fix it is to talk about it.
We have to talk about it. We have to accept that it has become our reality, but
yes.
It doesn't mean that it's become our new norm.
Right.
We're allowing it to become our new norm when we should be saying, hell no, this
That's
will
right.
never happen in my school. I will never put any of my kids or their friends through this. And as parents, we want the best for our kids and we want to protect our teachers too. So enough. You know,
that's
every
right.
parent should be going to their school saying, okay, what is your bullying, anti-bullying policy? What have you done to let everyone know about this? Because I do not want a bully in this school to come and seek revenge in 6 months' time.
That's right. Now,
that's,
do you know of
doing.
Do you know of any advocacy groups that people can get involved in to help counter this bullying epidemic that we're seeing?
Oh gosh, yes. And as I said, they're all on my website. But
yes, good.
If you bear with me, I'm just going through my chart very quickly to see if I have any. So, I mean, one of them that's extremely good is the Stop Bullying Now Foundation.
Okay.
And then another one is thebullypolice.org.
That's the bully police?
Yeah, so bully police.
Okay.
B-U-L-L-Y, police. Another one is keepschoolssafe.org. So there are out there, there's some really good organizations. And the Stop Bullying Now Foundation, what's really good is that they actually have indicated the worst states in the states for bullying, where they are, and also they indicate the states that have bullying laws implemented and those that they're only going through the process. And so as a parent, if you look and see that the anti-bullying laws haven't been implemented, then that's when you want to go and start talking with local politicians and the school board and saying, what do we need to do to get this implemented? Because it is a federal requirement. Every single school in every state should have an anti-bullying policy implemented.
That's right. Well, Tracy, I don't want to take a lot more of your time. However, I do want you to plug your website and your book, because the book is fascinating. I loved it, and I really encourage people to get over there and get that book. It's fascinating. I listen to it in audio form, and that's the way I prefer books now. I love to listen to people narrate their own topics.
Yes, I narrated my own book. Go figure.
It was wonderful. So how do they find you, and how do they get a hold of that great book, Tracy?
Okay, so the book is Escaping the Rabbit Hole, My Journey Through Depression. It's available on Amazon. It's in Kindle. It's also audio version. And all the different places where my book is listed on the website, they can also order it in the States from Barnes & Noble. Some carry it, others you just have to order it. It's also available, obviously, globally and in different Amazons and Ball.com. And then my website is my name. So it's www.tracy.maxfield.com. But even if they just Googled rabbit hole, I'll come up.
Ah, that's interesting. Google search.
And so on the website, obviously information about me and my book. There's all the podcasts and TV shows and everything that I've done. You can go and play all the different interviews. And there's lots of articles. So as I said, there's all the mental health resources in the States and in Canada, all the bullying. There's every single suicide hotline number around the world. And there's also lots of articles. So if they click on blog and articles, they'll see children, teenagers and young adults, mental illness. Then there's mental illness in adults. There's bullying, and it's bullying in kids, and it's workplace bullying. And so there's lots of different articles there that can help them understand, firstly, but also if they want additional information so they know how to respond and how they can approach the school or how they can approach the bully's parents or even the workplace. And it's kind of, I call it my one-stop shopping. I didn't want
yes.
it to just be about me and the book. I wanted it to reflect what I'm actually working on and what's important to me, and the opportunity that people could actually go there and say, oh, wow, look, look at the, you know, there's an awesome paper on, look at the connection between depression, anxiety, self-harm, and bullying. And it helps them as well understand maybe what could be happening to their kids who may be bullied, and you may not even know, but you're starting to see little things that something's not right. There's a 12-step identification tool. Is your child being bullied, or is your child a bully? Because I think parents really, really need to be very aware of
what's
going on in the world and what that child is facing, because it's not what we faced. I mean, I'm in
that's
my
right.
50s as well, and it's not what you faced, even if you're in your 30s right now. Bullying has changed, and please don't compare what life was like during your school days
that's right.
to what life is like today. It is so very different, and we've really got to be there to help support and empower our kids
that's
to
right.
be the best that they can be and to be strong enough and to help them cope with all these challenges that society throws at them.
That is so true, Tracy. Well, with that, I want to close out this session, and I want to thank you, Tracy, for sharing with the audience all your knowledge. It's a wonderful website, a wonderful book, and people need to get involved. And I thank you personally for being such a great advocate for a great cause.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk. As you know, I can talk about it.
Yes. Well, you could pick your brain for hours on numerous subjects. And if you'd like, I'd love to have you back and dive into some more topics.
Absolutely. That would be awesome. As I said, it's something that I'm very passionate about. And the more people talk, the more they'll realize that they're not alone. There are so many out there going through this. And together
right.
we can actually be a very unified, strong group.
That's right. Team up, America. Team up, Canada.
Absolutely.
Team up
Absolutely.
The world. We can do this together.
You betcha.
Thank you. And have a good day, Tracy. And
thank you so much.
Enjoy your day.